episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, and this is episode 38. With me today is fan of the podcast, fan of the Bourne movies, my brother David is back.
Yes, yes. Good to be back.
Again, not planned at all. We were going to watch a completely different movie, and that, you know, I do have to say that this is going to be, first of all, this is going to be the episode for The Bourne Legacy, starring Jeremy Renner, right? Jeremy Renner is his name?
I think so.
Jeremy Renner, and... in a previous episode, I had said it was Rose Byrne, but it's not Rose Byrne from Damages. It is Weiss. Her last name is Weiss. Rachel Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
W-E-I-S-S, but I think it's pronounced Weiss. And Edward Norton is also in this movie.
Sweet.
Plus
some of the original cast members.
Which is funny because both what was that?
Some of the original characters from the earlier films.
Yes.
From, like, the central office.
Right. For fans of the Bourne movies, I have to clarify, this is not a reboot. Everybody keeps calling it a Bourne reboot. It's not a reboot. It exists in the same universe as the Bourne movies. It's the same central agency like you were talking about. The female lead for the central agency is back in this movie. What I was going to say is that in a way, both Edward Norton and Jeremy Renner have been in Marvel movies, but not together. Technically, the same character, because Norton played Hulk,
right?
But not the whatchamacallit version, the Incredible Hulk version of Edward Norton. So this is actually a sequel. Existing in the same timeline or universe as, like I said, the Matt Damon Bourne movies. It's called The Bourne Legacy, even though Jeremy Renner's character plays a different agent altogether, his completely different character. But these storylines run in congruency with each other. So just to get that out of the way, because we're such huge fans of this franchise, there's going to be a lot to talk about in the second portion as far as how they all tie in together. Safe to say that the first three Bourne movies with Matt Damon pretty much summed up everything for Matt Damon's character as... so far that we know. This movie is supposed to maybe open it up a little bit more. I think what they're planning on doing is just taking Jeremy Renner and Matt Damon in a sequel. Maybe we'll find out at the end of the movie that, oh crap, they're going to do one together, or I don't know. What do you...
Well, I haven't read the whole series of books because I'm not much of a reader. But I did I guess.
Which is ironic because...
Do like the Cliff's Notes for them.
Right, because the times that you've been on the shows, you always mention a book.
Yeah.
But you say you're not much of a reader. You're clearly more of a reader than I am.
Well, in some cases I read the book after I've seen the movie. In other cases I read the books and then see the movie. In this case, I wasn't aware that they were books until I saw the movie. And so I...
Which is backwards for me because going into the very first one, I remember watching the first series, a bunch of them with Dad, because he likes these too. And I was in the theater and I leaned over. I go, there's going to be like three or four more of these because I knew that the series was that long.
Well, that's the thing. And going back to
the book series, that is.
The book series, you can, in my experience or under my premise of the book, you can theoretically go on and on and on with these movies. Because there are countless other...
Once we find out, once we find out that
Born
Legacy isn't the only one.
These are just two iterations of that broken program, you know, that they call, what is it, the...
Well, if you remember this, I'll be impressed because I don't remember what the name of the Something Initiative or...
It's the program that they... It wasn't BlackRock, it was...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever program they called the name of the program in the last one or whatever, they shut it all down, supposedly, and they closed the books on it congressionally and all that. But
we find out at the end of the whole series what Jason Bourne's real name is, supposedly. The identity that he was originally a particular soldier that volunteered for this.
Well,
the whole time he was looking for the answers,
right.
the ultimate twist behind the whole series, spoiler alert, for the Bourne movies, the first three, the entire time he's chasing himself because he finds out that he's the one that initiated it. It was all...
It's a voluntary program and that kind of thing.
But don't you think those papers can be, like, forged, too? It's the government. Like, oh, yeah, you did this. Yeah. Like, it was your fault. It was like a Project X Wolverine
of
style.
Right.
Project X type
of the military standard, and then they volunteer for these programs and turn them into super spies or, you know, super soldiers. I mean, here's what I liked. The movie itself was, it followed the line of the story of the book so far. Though the book or the movie was already rated R, but the book is so much more graphic.
Mm.
And for instance, there was a basic love interest in the first two or three, where he meets, and there was a female character.
Which there were.
However, he did not treat them very well.
Mm.
He was very violent toward them. He beat her up.
Interesting.
He wasn't this, oh, I love you, and I'm going to try to protect you. At first,
Matt Damon is America's sweetheart. They would never make him beat a woman.
Right. Well, at first he was like, well, you're slowing me down. You're being a liability. I need to get rid of you. And then he was like, oh, I fell in love with her, whatever. But in the book, it wasn't like that.
He continued
that premise of, you're in my way. You're slowing me down. I'm going to beat the crap out of you, stuff you into a closet, and forget about you.
Right.
And that's basically what he did in the books. But the movie, of course...
They had to lighten it up a little bit.
Of course. I mean, it would be completely...
Nobody wants to go on track advocating spousal abuse or domestic violence.
So, you know...
spousal abuse.
I'm just saying the books were very graphic.
Right.
Very much more violent.
I was going to say... I was going to make a Good Will Hunting joke or reference about the closest he ever got to beating a woman in a movie was in Good Will Hunting. When he hit the wall behind her, he's like, is that what you want to hear? But he does make a cameo. Since it is about him, he's talked about a lot. And I don't know, it's the first time I think you can make an appearance and get paid for something. Because, as a matter of fact, Matt Damon went on record that saying Jason Bourne is a better spy than James Bond. Like, he just flat out, he's like, it's such a crazy world that James Bond lives in. It's not down to earth. And, like, he was trashing the characters. So, but that's funny because that's how much he gets involved in these roles. Like, he wants to be the face of Bourne, you know? So, anyway, before we get too much into it, because the quick intro is getting not so quick, expectations are obviously, for me, really high. I'm glad that Jeremy Renner is a different character because nobody can be Jason Bourne in my mind besides Matt Damon. But I'm practically gay for him anyway. Yes. I would watch anything that was in.
Is it me, or is there a long hiatus between the last one and this one? Didn't it seem like this?
I was like, yeah,
kind of like, okay, well, let's bring it back, even though it's been 3 years since last.
I think that's okay, because that to me shows that they're being careful with the franchise. They don't want to break
it. So what do you know about the director, and is it all?
That's a good question. I don't know. I should have done my research, but again, I didn't. So what about your expectations?
Oh, definitely high. I mean,
I have it there on the IMDb's who the director is.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Because I'm such a big fan of this movie. We're actually doing the podcast from the house before we go to the movie theater. I still have. Holy crap, they're right here. I knew it. The Bourne Identity and the Bourne Supremacy. In their original DVDs, I think these are yours, actually.
Yeah, I bought them back in the day. In the era of buying DVDs, which is long gone in my book, you know, these are worth actually having original copies of. These,
okay.
These are fantastic.
This is interesting. The very first movie was called The Bourne Identity, correct?
Yes.
Bourne Identity was directed by, Doug Liman.
Okay.
Then the one that came after that was Bourne Supremacy, right? No. It was Bourne Identity, Bourne Conspiracy. Yes.
No.
Wow. Yeah, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Conspiracy, the Bourne Supremacy. I have the Bourne Supremacy here, and it's directed by Paul Greengrass.
This one's directed, the Bourne Legacy.
And then the fourth one that we're going to go see is Bourne Legacy.
It is directed by Tony Gilroy.
Wow. So I think every single...
And actually the screenplay is also done by his brother or whatever, Dan Gilroy.
Barring the second movie that I don't have in my hand, you know what? I forgot that What's-Her-Name was in this movie. I love her. Julia Stiles, man.
Julia Stiles. She was in all three.
She was in all three as one of the... she's like a middle... She's like a neutral agent. She kind of helps
both
sides.
She's kind of a rookie, sort of, too. Or she's like... She's an operative out on the front lines, but
she wants
not
to be on the good side.
She's not doing the stabbing people with pens.
She's the cyber warfare.
Yeah, exactly. She's the connection.
High expectations for you. I don't even have to ask you.
Yeah, definitely. Really high. I'm expecting... Top notch.
Jeremy Murdo's got to bring it because, like I said, I have a movie hard on for Matt Damon, and Jeremy Renner. So far, everything he's done is pretty top notch. Hurt Locker was good.
Yeah, it was an excellent.
The Avengers movies, although he pretty much was the only one without a superpower. Like he just has a bow and arrow. That's really not. Come on, that's not really.
Yeah.
He wasn't bitten by a Hawkeye that gave him super.
Supervision
and
accuracy with a bow.
Because that mofo in the Avengers, he was in the sky, flying at a bajillion miles an hour, shoots almost 90 degrees where he's at, and then lands an arrow inside of the friggin' the sky fortress,
yeah.
Whatever it is, the flying sky fortress.
That was pretty dope.
I was like, give me a break, but it was hot. But it sucks that like he had to be the character that got amnesia for the first half of the movie. Like
he was actually fighting for the wrong side.
Yeah, he was a bad guy for the longest time. Anyway, off topic. Yeah, we're getting ready to go do this. We're gonna play some intermission music. Get some warm nuts. Actually, you're a big fan of the candied everything.
Yeah.
We have cashews and whatever. What else do they have?
They have three different types.
Yeah, they have cashews.
Almonds. And pistachio?
Is it pistachio?
I'm going to try the pistachio.
They have two different kinds. I don't know which ones they are, but we'll go do that. Listen to intermission music, and we'll see you for part two of episode, I already forgot, 38, for the Bourne Legacy, part two. All right.
Sweet.
Cheers. Okay. Welcome back to part two of episode 38 for a week late podcast for Born Legacy. I did away with reintroducing myself in the second part. Because if you already list, like, I used to do the whole thing, like, over again. Like, why? You're already listening.
Mm-hmm.
The only one taking a break, really, is me.
Right.
They're already here. It's not like, you know.
And if you forget the name with the 12-second pause between part one and part two.
Which I just did. that's funny. So welcome back. I hope you just came back from watching Born Legacy, featuring Jeremy Renner a shit ton of Edward Norton, a lot of Rachel Weisz, zero Matt Damon besides a picture.
And a lot of references to his character, but
I guess that was a spoiler, but it's not really because that's apparent in the trailer. You see one snapshot of him from, which is actually funny that I mentioned because it's like a Goodwill Hunting picture.
Right.
It wasn't, I don't even think it was the Jason, any, that picture was, did not appear in any of the Jason Bourne movies, but we're getting into spoilers already. Well, let's get into ratings, I guess, because we got there, like, right on time. We didn't get to see any of the previews, but we did get to see some trailers that are attached to the actual Bourne Legacy film. I guess expectations met for you?
Yeah, they were met. It was not a disappointment. A lot of it was... It didn't have any of that yeah right factor to me. So, you know, it's realistic film. You know, in my opinion, you know, the only yeah right that gets into my head is how much we actually do know about controlling people with meds. Because almost every scientist out there says that we do not know the human brain, and we more than likely end up killing people more than controlling them because we just mess with the chemicals too much.
That's kind of one of the new things that was brought up in this movie. I don't want to say it's a spoiler, but there wasn't as much emphasis on the meds in the first three films.
They alluded to the fact that there were manipulations involved using drugs, but not as like a turning point in the plot.
Before we get into that, then, you would say that your expectations were met.
Yeah, like, they were.
Because you had high expectations going in, as did I. But it sounds like you're settling, though. Like,
well, no, I'm just saying there weren't any, in my opinion, any yeah rights in the first three. Everything was probable.
But is that a good thing? Like, what's a yeah right?
Well,
like,
okay, like a yeah right, like referencing the A-Team movie, where, you know, a container ship blows up and lands on its side and nobody dies. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay? So what I'm trying to say is it's kept real. It's based
so that's
in
a good
reality.
Thing.
Yeah, it is to me.
Okay, yeah.
Because I don't want these movies to be cheesy.
So that's good
because
it didn't take you out of the moment.
Right.
Out of the movie. Okay, so that's a good thing. Because when you said there were any yeah right moments, I thought that was a bad thing. Like,
not having too many yeah rights is a good moment.
Like, a yeah right moment to me is like when you snap, when people say you snap your gums or whatever. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Like, a really moment. Like, really? That did not. Really?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I had... I guess without getting into it. My expectations were... They're at that level to where they're just kissing that line of meeting my expectations. because when you got the action and you got the intensity, it was there. But when you didn't, it was sort of like paced, very sort of slow. And then you had these, oh, yeah, yeah, we're doing it. And it's like storyline, exposition, character. There wasn't, first of all, PG-13 for this movie. I barely saw any blood. There weren't any F-bombs. There weren't, nobody kissed in this movie.
Yeah, there was not even.
There was no nipple. Love interest, right. Not even side boob.
Right.
Like, we didn't even get even good side boob. And I don't know, man. Rachel Weisz was great in this movie. She reminded me of a different... I was saying the whole time, this girl could have played this better. But now I'm drawing a blank on who that could have been. Oh, Rose Byrne, I had mentioned.
Mm.
Rachel Weisz looks like Rose Byrne when she cries. And Rose Byrne could have played this just the same, but they have the same build. That being said, I think Rachel Weisz still has bigger tits than Rose does. But they're both gorgeous women. And I think Rose Byrne is British, maybe? I don't know. But they could have been interchangeable. I'm not taking anything away from Rachel Weisz, but because she did a great job. Like, she knew, I think everything that she delivered was great. So I guess my rating, I wanted to give this movie a really high up there rating, like a perfect score, but it just didn't hit it on the right notes for me, and we'll get into that in the spoilers, because I think it goes about what you're saying with the yeah, right moments. Like, I did have some, but they weren't like A-team bad. They were like, well, wait, why don't they just, you're meaning to tell me that somebody's never gotten off their meds by accident and didn't figure it out on their own? You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot, to me, there was a lot left to happenstance. But like you said in the first part, the scope of this movie draws it out to where there's hundreds of these people, if not thousands of these agents in different programs named different things, that opens it up to the idea of a legacy, because Bourne split it open, and now because of that, no matter what agent tries to bring the agency down, it's always going to be called, oh, he's pulling a Bourne. So I'm going to give this movie a solid 8.5. I think even though I may have been physically tired, it wasn't boring. It put me to sleep. I wanted to see what happened next. A lot of the action was good. I saw one issue with CG, but this isn't a CG-heavy movie, so it's not like, yeah, I'm just being overcritical as far as that's concerned.
You're talking about
one of the drone planes looked super fake through the snow when it was flying through the mountains. But, you know, like I said, it may have just been me. Yeah, 8.5. What about you?
I was thinking the exact same number.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I wanted to give it a 9, and it's not that it doesn't deserve a 9, or even, you know, a 10 on some levels, because I always look
at certain
categories
in this movie. I felt this is a 10.
Yeah.
But
overall, I think, you know, an 8.5 is very fair. Because I was thinking of that same number, like walking out of the theater.
It's hard not to compare this to the first Bourne movie, because you want that sort of newness, but it is actually picking up where the other ones left off, and it's like, I don't know if he never had an identity crisis. He always knew who he was, kind of, in a sense. He didn't have that confused sense about him for the first two movies, looking for himself. He kind of knew who he was, but even then, we didn't really know him. We had no backstory. He was just another soldier in the era. But, so you're going to give it an 8.5 too?
Yeah, I was going to give it an 8.5 too.
So, let me do the math. What is 8.5 and 8.5 averaged? That's a joke. It should be 8.5, right?
It should be 8.5.
It should be. I still don't know. Yeah, so as far as that's concerned, because if I keep talking, it's going to get... I don't really think there are any spoilers in this movie, besides a minor twist. I don't even know if it's really a twist, even. But to reference the first part, and this, again, isn't a spoiler, there is no indication that there will be a sequel for this movie. It sort of is one of those... unlike the end of Batman, where of any Batman movie, of the Christopher Nolan type, where we know at the end of his film if there's going to be a sequel because the Joker left his card at the end of the first movie, or, you know, Harvey Dent dies at the end of the second one, and then now we have this new villain. We're always told what the next thing is going to be. Here it's like, this is more of a left open to a sequel if someone ends up writing it. And there were a lot more people in the theater this far into this movie being out than I thought. So clearly this movie's still making money. It's on 4 or 5 times a day. 6 weeks in for the new Total Recall remake, and it's out. I didn't even get to do a show on that because it was... I mean,
yeah, and
I've had a lot of alternative movies posted lately, but it had a really short
and it only made half of what it cost to make.
That's terrible.
It was a $152 million budget, and it pulled in, I think, maybe $60 million.
Wow.
Something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, it doesn't surprise me, I guess. It kind of shocked me that there was that many people in the theater, but it didn't surprise me because...
The true fans of the Bourne movies will be there.
Yeah, it's got a solid base already, you know, even without, you know...
There's no comparing Jeremy Renner to Matt Damon. There were no big neck pen stabbings. I wanted to see, he just stabbed the shit out of some dude with a book and a pen... Like, in the neck, you know that guy was hurting before he got kicked out off that roof or whatever, or the balcony, but I wanted to see that, and there were moments of that, but it happened so fast that sometimes the camera was off, like, you couldn't see the action that was going on, because the shaking was, I don't know what the deal was with that, but I will have to say, maybe I should give this a little bit of extra nudge, because there was this one scene where... It tied in the cinematography with CG, I think, a little bit, as far as melding the frames together, because they went from the bottom of the building, they followed Jeremy Renner, like, out a window, onto the side, climbing up this sort of mesh to a second roof, like a second story, and then going inside of the adjacent building through a window, all in one camera motion. I thought that was awesome. Like, I don't know what they did there, but it was great.
Well, I have to agree that some of the cinematography was awesome. Something that I noted that you don't often see, or I guess in the way they pulled it off in this movie, was a lot of some of the chase scenes and stuff were given an advantage point from, like, somebody sitting in the bus as they're happening.
I saw that too,
you know, and I was like, "That's pretty cool." And then they were very
the chase scenes were
it.
Pretty good. I
yeah.
may have cut this movie a little bit short because the chase scenes were pretty good, but I'm pretty sure solid 8.5 is what this movie's like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's right there. So I'm gonna do the spoiler countdown. I guess I don't know if I yeah. I was thinking about taking the spoiler countdown out, but how else would people know when to stop listening, even if they haven't seen it yet? So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoilers. I don't know. There's not too much to mess up. This movie, if there aren't more sequels, this movie... is pointless because it has so much setup and so much more drawn out information about the names of different programs. Speaking of which, the one you mentioned in the first one, Black Stone, or
Treadstone. I put the two together. There's Blackbriar and Treadstone, and I said Blackstone because I knew both of them. They had mentioned all those two. At least there were newer ones that came up, like Trix or whatever that one was.
Trell, whatever.
And then there were a few other programs. So, in my opinion, even if they don't base a sequel per se from this with Jeremy in it or whatever.
Right.
There's still
an
open book. You can take so many things out of it. Because even
no
in the very...
intended. Or you can intend the shit out of that.
Even in the first one, there were many other agents that died. And even in the first one, I'm thinking, what's that guy's story then? If they've got Treadstone guys going after Treadstone guys, then this is bigger than...
Here's what happens. In this movie, they let you know, first of all, our newer agents are chemically based. This is what you touched on a little bit ago. They're keeping them hooked to drugs that may or may not be vital to their performance. They're just taught to believe so, apparently.
Well, sort of. From what I gathered.
These people have so much faith in the government that they'll take whatever they're given, even if it kills them, literally.
But they see the changes. Some of the changes are in intelligence, and your senses are heightened, and if you already have a high IQ, when you take these meds, what they call the chems in the movie.
I like that changeover between calling them meds
because that's
and
what
calling
they are.
Them chems. They're
chemical stuff that messes with the balances in your brain. And
they brought it down to a biological level to where they're introducing
your DNA, even mitochondrial stuff.
Yeah, they're introducing at a molecular level the ability to mutate. This is on a completely different level now. It was actually alluded to, I made a joke about, what is this, the Gray? Because there's this pack of wolves that follows Jeremy Renner around the Gray style. And I haven't even seen the movie, but I know what it's about.
It was exactly like that.
right. And so, but they end up using those animals in a really brilliant way, kind of. PETA should be all over this movie. I don't know why they're not.
America kills, you know,
Gray
wolves,
coyotes.
With drones.
So where was I? There was this line where the guy says, the wolves are following you, maybe they don't think you're human.
Right.
And it got into this whole little realm of where are these people still us? Like, have they changed into something else? And that's why when Edward Norton says, you know, this whole program could move sideways on us, and I hate when people use that phrase, but what that means in this case for the first time to me is that if this gets found out even more than it already is, the government gets turned into more of a piece of shit than people think we are already.
Yeah. Because the way I interpreted that little sidebar when the guy was in the shack with him, you know, and they were talking. To me, it alluded, they knew, or at least the one guy in the shack knew, that he was being experimented on. They were all being experimented on by these chems, you know. And it seemed that he was naive to the fact because he was surprised to see another Treadstone guy. Like, wait, you exist?
Right.
I thought I was the only one. So he thought he was just, he didn't realize he was being a guinea pig, you know.
What happens is, at that moment, he becomes
like lab animals.
Right. At that moment, he becomes born. The past three movies catch up to him in a split second. It's like,
right.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Like,
this is a lot deeper than I thought.
And he doesn't even know anything about Bourne until he's in that shack. And apparently this is a safe house for agents. But everybody in this movie, even the agents, know that some shit's going down. Something's happening to the program. They're all well aware that it's all turning into shit. Then Jeremy Renner, I think his name is Aaron something.
Kevin. Well,
his name is Aaron.
His real name in the movie was Kevin Kitsum. Kevin J. Kitsum. It was KJK, I remember that.
Yeah, but why does she...
Because he made up his name. Remember, she's like, is that your name? No, it's not.
Right, but Aaron wasn't the name. James was the name that he, the fake name that he gave her. Aaron was his agent, his real agent name.
I don't remember.
I don't think so. That doesn't sound right either.
Well, I just saw, that's what it came from, when he showed her online, his picture, when they thought he was dead, it said Kevin Kitson.
Right.
That's how I remember that. But I don't know what his name, he gave her a false name, I mean.
Yeah, but when the police were there in Singapore, was it Singapore?
Philippines.
She's like, Aaron, run! You know, she called him Aaron the whole time. When he told her that the fake name, they should go by is James. I don't know. That's weird. But I wanted to get to that point that you mentioned earlier about... Damn, there's just so much to talk about, actually. I didn't say there were any spoilers, but there's a lot. What were you just talking about before his real name when oh, your oh wow moment, like your oh really, what did you call it?
Yeah, right.
Your yeah right moment, to me, was in the next scene after he saw Jason Bourne's name etched in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the safe house was concerned, I don't understand why that point was relevant to him. He has no idea who the fuck Jason Bourne is. That was a message to us that this movie is intertwined, that Jason Bourne was at this house before.
Well, it was a training ground. It started out with an Alaskan training ground, and apparently he was supposed to retrieve something from the bottom of this lake. And that's what he did, because he even brought it to the hut with him, and he's like,
right,
this is, you know, whatever. So that's why the guy's like, well, are you evaluating me?
Right.
And then the other guy turned it around because he was asking so many questions.
You might
be evaluating
me.
Wait a minute, you could be evaluating me. You know?
Well, this is my yeah, right moment. And it's kind of a huge spoiler, but not really because, again, it's in the trailer. The cabin that you see in the trailer that gets blown the shit up is the cabin that we're talking about. So my yeah, right moment is like, okay. So when they say they should split up and scout, he's just going to take everything with him in a backpack that he got there with. And he just happens to leave the cabin, like, if he wouldn't have, like, let's say it was, you know, it could have been him going to take a piss. It happened to happen at the exact moment where there's an incoming missile to blow the shit out of this one agent. And then the other thing that was a yeah, right moment to me was like, well, wait a minute. They only went to kill one, but now they know there are two there. And if it's so easy to dupe the government, you're going to put a tin pan scotch tape to your leg to mute the signal of a high-tech GPS device that's implanted in your thigh. That's all it takes? Really? That's my really moment right there. It's like, that's fucking retarded. Okay, I hate to use that word retarded, but... I that was like knocked a huge point down for me. I was like, if you think there would be, if there are that many agents running around the streets that are being tagged by the government, they would all have pans around their legs like that. We would be able to tell who a secret spy is because they have cooking pans from military issue canteen like strapped around their legs to cover said. You know what I mean? Like, is it really that easy to just take out the device that the government has installed inside of you? Because if that's how easy it is to get off the grid, there are rogue agents running around all over the place, and we'd all be dying.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Most of them wouldn't be expected to do that, either because of the mind control actually working or them just understanding that they have a job to do, because most of them, they know that they're going after another agent that they probably trained with, but they're still going to go after Jason Bourne to kill him.
I did enjoy the rhetoric, I guess you could call it, about the mind control. If you make somebody believe that they are addicted, it's almost just as bad, if not worse, as they might as well be addicted because they think they are. I think that was like the best thing that I took from, if the government's going to control you, that's how they're going to do it. What did you think about the non-love interest? Like, there was a relationship there, but it wasn't, like, at least Jason Bourne got some. In every movie, he got banged, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I think maybe if they do come out with a sequel, that's because it seems like they're going to stick together. because, you know, he
it was alluded to,
so, you know, maybe he'll get laid in the next one, but what I see is...
That's like, the subtitle. Aaron What's-His-Face gets laid.
Oh, like that.
like the born porn.
Like, I don't know, but
the porn identity.
I don't mind not having. Sometimes, you know, I know that it's the formula for having a Hollywood hit is violence and a love interest
but,
and this.
It's funny because if you've listened to...
There are a lot of movies that I think could go without...
Lately, that's the trend, is not showing a romantic interest. Like, a lot of movies have done away with that. Like, if you think about it, the Avengers didn't really have a love interest. Nobody was in love with anybody else besides the character that we're already used to being in a relationship, you know? But even that, it wasn't about those relationships, you know? This... Like we said earlier, there was actually a guy in the theater... that was yelling out in Spanish after the fourth or fifth time that he saved Rachel Weisz's character. He's like, well, would you just kiss her already? Like, give him a kiss. He saved your life. Like, do something. Damn. He was, like, angry that there wasn't any side boob. But I think that might have something to say about people complaining about love interest in movies all the time. Like, why does she have to do this or... There wasn't a scene where she was running through the woods and tripped and fell and he had to help her up. You know, she
and
wasn't
that,
helpless.
Like, that,
she was actually,
the
actually had, yeah, she actually had balls in this movie. She sort of ran and fought for herself when she had to and did that sort of thing. So
I don't mind not having love interest in movies. Sometimes I think it
worked in this
it all
movie.
Up.
Yeah. I think it worked to not have that dynamic, but at least I mean, in reality, if that were to happen, two adults in that situation, devoid of all, you know, religion or politics, they're going to bang. They're, you know, we might die tomorrow. We might die 20 minutes from now. Let's screw a little bit, you know? I think that would happen. Maybe this should be out of 7.5 because there was no side boobs. But I'm going to move into trailers right now. What do you think? I think we've exhausted the legacy. I wish it would have been, you know, don't get me wrong, it gets a strong 8.5 because when the action was there, it was intense. There was a scene where a scientist goes ballistic and kills everybody inside of the lab. I thought that was a great scene.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
It was played out very smart. Like, he was very... It seemed, even though his killing spree was very spontaneous, it seemed like in his mind he had planned it out. What if this shit goes down? I still don't know.
We're not sure of the intent of the guy.
Why did he? I still don't know why he went.
He walked out of the place that was actually administering the little pills into the vials. I think maybe he was like...
He saw somebody in there that shouldn't have been there. And I think in his mind, somebody told him, if you ever see this guy in your lab, it's over. Get it done. And... The scientists know, you know, firsthand, they administer these drugs to these soldiers that are supposed to be, you know, high-tech, top-secret. Just go watch the movie. If you're a Bourne fan,
you won't be disappointed.
You're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
It carries the story along exactly where it needs to go, I guess, for their next step, even though I don't know exactly what that is. It has the same feel, the same dialogue. It's very fast-paced. If you're not familiar with any of the Bourne movies, don't go watch this movie. You'll be confused as shit. Because they reference... I don't know if that's true, maybe. Somebody that goes... You should. Just because you won't understand the legacy if you don't understand the identity and the supremacy and all that.
Yeah, they try to make it happen so that even if you didn't see the previous ones... They give you an idea of, look, you know, they even do it visually with the politician and the operative sitting there on a table with all of the files spread out.
That's one more thing I wanted to say.
You know,
I'm glad you said that. It was like when they did the flashbacks, it confused me a little bit. It wasn't like I was like, wait a minute, how did they get here? Oh, it must be a flash. It took me a second.
Right.
I was like, wait,
that
what?
Was in the previous film.
Right, but there was no, like, actual flash of light or transition. It just went to another scene, and in the previous scene, there are the two characters that are obviously in geographically two different parts of the planet at the same time, and then flash to the next scene where they're in the same room together. It's like, wait, how did they get there? But there's no transition. There's no sort of wipe or fade to white or fade to black. There's none of that. And I'm like, it confused me for a second. There was also that one scene where Renner's character steals a plane, and I didn't understand, even though it was deliberately, I'm like, because the jump cuts were so, they jump cut so fast that I'm like, wait, how did we get here? Like, if you blink, it was literally, well, to me anyway, I don't know. But that's, you know, I think
at first there was a lot of that.
I think the score, yeah, and then after that, you know, I think the 8.5 score is fair because of all that. But it's a great movie. Go watch it. I recommend go see it in the theaters before it leaves. I'm going to get into trailers. I'm going to talk a little bit about video games because I've been playing a lot on the Wii lately. What were the trailers that we watched?
There was the Les Miserables.
Yes.
Which is a musical, and I can't believe that...
Les Mis is getting turned into a movie based on the musical, and the movie is a musical.
Yeah. That actually, has
Anne Hathaway,
the Wolverine,
Hugh Jackman.
I can't believe if he sings in this movie,
he's actually been on Broadway before, I believe.
Stop.
I believe that to be true.
I know that there's been a lot of, not recently, but there's been a rash in the past of people mocking him. You know, Hugh Jackman, like bashes even on Family Guy and other shows where they kind of make fun of him for his skills as an actor. And I'm like, okay, well, he's going to be in a musical now, so that usually means something.
Family Guy might as well be a musical. I mean, Family Guy could be a Broadway play because it's so easy to turn into music. Like
there's at least a song in every freaking episode.
Yeah, they have this song on Family Guy that won a Grammy, I think. It's about weed.
Oh, yeah.
Bag of weed, a bag of weed, everything
is
better
than
a bag. Todd Glass, by the way, on his podcast, they have a whole bit on that. They just sing it for like 5 minutes.
Oh, and what's his name from Beautiful
yes,
Mind?
Yes, I was going to say him too.
I just made his name.
Wow.
Australian.
He's Australian. He gets made fun of in South Park a lot.
Mm.
It'll come to me in a minute. I don't know anything about the play besides that I was supposed to go see it while I was taking French in middle school. Or maybe it was the beginning of high school. Yeah, it was beginning of high school. I was a freshman. I was supposed to go see that play. Never got to see it. Kind of don't care about anything French as far as for their films suck, their cartoons suck.
Chocolat was pretty good, actually. Even though that's chicken.
Their musicals probably suck. But Les Mis is a huge play. I don't have any intention of going seeing this, but we saw the trailer for it. You said Hugh Jackman completely. He was in not Eternal Sunshine. Master and Commander.
Yeah. I just had a flash of his name and it disappeared.
Because I said Hugh Jackman.
damn it.
We saw a trailer with, I was going to say Samuel Jackson, but it's not him at all. Wow, this is terrible. We're doing so good. Now my reference material is all gone.
Russell Crowe. Finally. I didn't even have to
Hugh look Jackman
that.
And, I guess I can only hold two names in my head at the same time, even though, Anne Hathaway, there we go. Which, if that's her real voice, if she's actually singing that, she sounds amazing. The whole thing is, that tune from America's Got Talent that old British chick sang that got her hugely famous.
Oh, yeah.
What's your face? Was it America's Got Talent?
No, it was the British version of
American Idol. British Idol. That'd be funny if it was British American Idol. they don't have to be American to be on the British version. They just fly to London, that's all. Then we saw a trailer with Denzel Washington.
I'd seen before.
Yeah, I had seen that before. I keep forgetting the name of the movie, though. He plays a pilot that saves all these people by doing this crazy maneuver in a plane that nobody can achieve except him. And then I think it's based on a true story where he gets, because of some cover-up for a machine failure, he gets blamed for having, framed for having, like, alcohol in his system at the time of the accident and all this crazy stuff. Film looks amazing. The trailer is awesome. The music for the trailer is amazing. Even though I have no idea what the name of that trailer is or the name of the movie is, I want to see that film.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
I think it's American Flight or just Flight, something Flight.
I don't remember at all what the title was. And I've seen that trailer. That was probably my second or third time seeing that, and I don't remember the title of that movie.
Then after that, we saw a trailer for... Wow.
That one weird movie.
The Life of Pi.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Flight.
It is called Flight. The Life of Pi, I have no idea what this movie is about. It looks fictional. But the trailer is gorgeous. The visuals, there's a zebra swimming in water while a ship is sinking. There's a tiger inside of a boat that almost mauls an Indian child. It seems like this whole movie takes place at sea after some sort of wreck. But then, like, there's this magical whale at the end of it that doesn't splash down. I don't really get that either. The visuals for this movie are amazing. It's directed by Ang Lee, I believe. It's The Life of Pi. Pi is P-I. Or it might be Life of P. I don't know how it's pronounced. Might be The Life of P. What else? We didn't see any other trailers, did we?
That was three we just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Is that all we've seen?
We forgot to mention one last time.
Yeah, we did, and we remembered what it was after.
And then we forgot it again.
Yeah. I can't remember that. But.
I'm going to get into a little bit of video games. Just want to run across this, only because a day before your birthday, October 30th, Assassin's Creed 3 comes out. I picked up a game a while back on the Wii called Red Steel. I recently had a revisiting of the Wii in the past couple weeks. I have played Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is almost finished and done. The game is so much fun. Only because I saw a preview of the Wii U that's coming out right before Christmas this year. Probably around our birthdays, like October, November, right around the corner. They should be dropping anytime. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't push it back to maybe January or February, but they really wouldn't make that much money on a release
that late, or early
in the season.
Right.
The preview got me in such a sort of... The Wii is not... Like, I'm a serious gamer, and I still like the Wii, and I'll probably get slammed for that. I'd like to get slammed for that, being that it would be the only feedback that I have at all. But it's just fun to play the Wii. Ubisoft is the same company that makes Red Steel, and it has the same sort of cool storylines, but the Wii is so graphically challenged that you don't really get to see a lot of what the graphics can actually look like. But people don't play Wii for the graphics. They play Wii for the experience. And it's really fun because
It incorporates swordplay with gunplay, sort of like Jet Li style kind of action. And then about a quarter way through the game, the gameplay dynamics change because you can sort of slow down time and plan your bullets trajectory to either kill somebody or just disarm them.
Mm.
You can attack just their weapons.
That's cool.
It's really interesting because it'll cut between the ability to use guns and the ability to use swords only. So your bosses are all swordplay. You don't get to shoot them or anything like that. And I think it's interesting because in movies that do that, they have to tell the audience that to kill somebody in this movie with a weapon is dishonorable, and this whole movie is about honor, so we're going to use swords from now on. And that kind of happens in the game, and I think that's pretty cool. I've also played Excite Truck, which is a huge callback. It's probably the longest sequel that we've had to wait for a sequel, because Excite Bike came out on the regular NES,
yeah.
The 8-bit Nintendo. It was a side-scroller racer, super fun. It actually incorporated physics a lot because you had to use your turbo at the right amount of time to jump certain, to hit certain hills at the right angle. And this game does that too with trucks in 3D. And it's awesome. Like, once you get a layout of all the tracks, you have to hit turbo and jump through rings to get stars and stuff to progress to the mm-hmm. next level. And or you're not just racing for first place, you're racing to get shortcuts and power-ups and turbo jumps and hit rings at a certain time to not only come in first, but to get achievements over anybody else. And you have to do that by hitting these jumps and turbos and hits the same way you would in the 2D Excite Bike. But
yeah, okay.
It's really cool.
Once you
get everything laid out. And Donkey Kong
looked fun to me, and the graphics weren't happy.
Yeah, the graphics on
that
game are really, really good. Yeah, the graphics on that game are really good. For the Wii, they look like 720 when we're limited to 480 on an HD console.
And that's what I'm saying. And on a 57-inch, you can't hide crappy graphics. You just can't.
Right. Yeah, it's really hard to do that, but at the same time, I would love to see the next iteration of anything on the Wii U, which is why I'm sort of getting back into the Wii, because I want to get familiar with it again, so that when it comes out and I get it, I'm just going to get right into it. I've been shunning the 360, except for pretty much using it as my media center. Like, I just watch TV now through Xbox. We got rid of Dish, you know, at the house, so... as many.
I'm gonna get it back. I want the Hopper. Hopper.
Yeah,
I love that thing.
The Hopper is actually, everybody's coming out with like those Roxio boxes and stuff like that. That can Apple TV,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Google has.
Which brings me to my next point. I wanted to get a Nexus 7 tablet. They're starting to tout that. I guess that's pretty much it. I mean. I know you want to play video games more often than you do now, but with your work and your schedule and bouncing back and forth between different cities, it's hard for you to do.
That's why someone recommended I get the PSP.
I was just going to say, I was trying to talk myself
into...
I've spent
a lot of time sitting in airports,
yep.
you know, and things of that nature.
But do you think that'll fall by the wayside? I mean, you have a playbook. You can use that for gaming if you really want it to.
I actually do play some very interesting games and watch lots of movies on my playbook.
Yeah.
So
movies take up your time.
That's the thing.
When you're sitting around waiting.
Honestly,
like,
and that's what I enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm.
I do like playing video games, but it's more in like my home setting,
right.
on my TV,
right.
you know, with my surroundings.
You're not a portable gamer.
Not really.
But I was considering...
Unless...
The PS, the new, it's actually
Game
called
Boy
the Vita.
Is dope. I was stuck on that thing. Like,
yeah, it's actually called the Vita, and it's got PS3 like graphics.
I heard about that
on the Vita. That's what somebody would probably recommend to you. It's just like
it's just like picking up a game. It's just like having a PS3 in your hand. That's what they're saying, that the graphics are...
PS3 is amazing.
Leaps and bounds. I want to get a PS3 soon because I want to start playing Uncharted. It's going to be a huge movie franchise, and I want to play the video game before I watch the movies, and it's happening fast. Speaking of which, Red Steel would make a great movie. It has to do with, some corporate Japanese-American dude is linked to owning this ancient sword that has never been touched by the Yakuza, which is tied in with the Japanese mafia.
Right.
And that's pretty much where the story... I mean, you could go everywhere with that. And so you're an American for the first time touching this, but you're still not Yakuza, so it's still a sacred sword. But you're still Japanese-American, and you get sent back to Japan to rescue the owner of the sword's daughter, because they want the sword from you for black market purposes. It's supposed to have these mythical powers. And so far, that's why the dynamic changes a quarter into the game, because you wield the sword and it helps you focus, which slows down time, and you can time your weapon to shoot or disarm somebody, like I said before. So it's really cool. So that being said, go pick up some video games. Go watch Bourne Legacy. Jeremy Renner does not disappoint. I really wish there was a little bit more hand-to-hand combat and pen stabbing in the neck in this. But, you know, who cares what I say? Who cares what we say? Go check it out. Give us your 2 cents. Hit us up on Gmail for some feedback. It's fans.aweeklate@gmail.com, or you can tweet us on Twitter @aweeklate. You can hit me up on my personal Twitter. It's @analysis, and the number is 489. Also the same on Facebook. Also the same on Xbox Live. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Facebook.com/FenEntertainment. You can also go to FenEntertainment.com. We have some new music coming up pretty soon. We've been super busy. We're getting back on track with the in-theater movies, even though I'm trying to throw some alternative stuff out there with the documentaries and stuff that you can get for free online. On behalf of David, thank you very much for doing this episode with me once again.
No, thank you.
Saving the arse. But go watch Bourne Legacy with someone or by yourself. Or hit me up and I'll go with you if you're local. You can come see me in Spring Hill, Florida at the Beacon Theater, which is where we go and do 99% of our shows. Airfare and accommodations not included. You do that shite yourself. And we will see you a week ago. That wraps it up. Week Late Podcast, episode 38 for Bourne Legacy. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, tell your family. We're also on iTunes. Just do a search for a week late in iTunes. It was brought to my attention by my friend Christian over at Good Old Rookies that some older versions of the iOS on the iPhone doesn't support the new button feature that iTunes has, and they've also deleted all the descriptions for most of the podcasts not actually hosted on Apple Forum, which is weird. I don't understand what's going on with that. If you look us up on iTunes, we have way more than 27 episodes. I don't know why they limit us to that, but they chop off the bottom half and only deliver the 27 most new episodes. I don't know why they do that, but you can get everything at aweeklate.com if iTunes fails you. It's all free. We never ask for anything. There will be a PayPal button up soon for donations and whatnot, because I can't do this forever for free. Thank you again for listening, and... we'll see you next time. Go to the movies and play some video games. Later. You want to say goodbye?
Thanks for the tea.
Oh, yeah. Good tea. We didn't even mention the tea.
No.
Vanilla
Tazo something or
other? Tazo Vanilla Rooibos. It's spelled R-O-O-I-B-O-S. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Go get it if you want some. We got it from a leading...
And don't put any sugar in it.
No, don't. Don't mess with it. I don't like to plug people, and I hate Starbucks because they're the corporate whores, but that's where we got this tea, and it's amazing.
And it's very affordable.
You can go... Yeah, we got two smalls for $4. I don't know what they're called.
No.
They're like... Italian-French conglomerate of language.
Venti is not small. Venti is like the medium, I think.
But anyway, if you don't like Starbucks, go get it from your local grocery store. It's Tazo tea, vanilla rooibos, and read the directions because you don't want to steep it for too long at the inappropriate temperature because it won't taste as good. But you're welcome for the tea. There you go. Free plug for that. Those motherfuckers. All right. Thanks for listening. Cheers. TheWeeklyLate.com.
This episode of Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.